السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We were discussing last week the conquest of Hira. We had discussed how Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala had appointed different Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom for different assignments. So Dirar bin Azwar radiallahu ta'ala was in charge of laying siege to what was known as the White Castle. Dirar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was responsible for laying siege to the Adasiyin Castle. And Dirar bin Miqran, his name Dirar, so common, today's time you don't hear of it, was in charge of laying siege to the castle of the Banu Mazin. And Muthanna bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala was in charge of laying siege to the Ibn Baqila castle. So Khalid radiallahu ta'ala instructed each of his commanders to invite the enemy to Islam. This was the first thing, invite the people to Islam. Of the choices that were given to them, the besieged Persians decided to fight against the Muslims. They didn't accept Islam, neither did they accept that we will live under Muslim rule and pay the jizya. They took the third option, that we will fight. They began by launching clusters of tiny stones in the direction of Muslim soldiers. So cluster bombs is not from today. Cluster bombs started that time. For their part, Muslim soldiers responded by firing arrows back at them. It became quickly apparent to the Persians that resisting was futile. So they called out from inside of their fortresses that, "O group of Arabs, we accept one of the three choices you gave to us. We accept paying jizya. We'll pay the jizya. So hold your fire." The leader of each fortress then came out for a one-on-one meeting with Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala. Each meeting began with Khalid radiallahu ta'ala scolding the counterpart for choosing to fight. "So why did you choose to fight?" So if Muslims were just bloodthirsty, just going around wanting to fight and just get war booty, why would he do this? When those people saw that now we are going to lose, and then they decided, after making up their mind that they'll fight, they saw now we're going to lose, and then they backtracked on their decision. If Muslims were just bloodthirsty people, just wanting to fight, then they would have said, "Hey, we finished, give you all opportunity. Now is fighting time now." But no, they stopped, they agreed to speak to these people. Then Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala made an agreement with all of the leaders of the besieged fortresses. Based on that agreement, they would not embrace Islam, because they didn't want to accept Islam. So they didn't embrace Islam. But the other friend. So they didn't want to accept Islam, but instead they would pay jizya at a rate of 190,000 dirhams each year. Each year they had to pay. Now, the jizya is worked out according to how many citizens there are. Each citizen has to pay certain amount. So, working the sums out, it came to 190,000 dirhams every year. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala then sent back a share of the war booty to Madinah Munawwara, and along with that wealth, the people of Hira, the same people now, they sent gifts for Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Upon receiving the gifts, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala felt that it was highly inappropriate for him to accept. Inappropriate to accept these gifts. It was the way of foreign leaders to lay claim to expensive gifts from the people they conquered. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala didn't want to establish the same precedent in Islam. Instead, he wanted to be just, fair and kind with the people whom he conquered. Now here it's not even war booty. These people of their own accord, they send gifts. But Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he didn't want to accept these gifts for himself. So instead of accepting the expensive gifts, he included it in the Baytul Mal. He took all those gifts and he included it in the public treasury. He didn't take it for himself. Back in Hira, Khalid radiallahu ta'ala wrote a comprehensive agreement with the inhabitants of Hira. In it he stated that they would pay the 190,000 dirhams annually. In return for that, they could remain upon their religion. Furthermore, by agreeing to pay the jizya, the people of Hira were to receive a guarantee of safety and protection from the Muslim government. One is the Muslim government would not cause them any harm. Over and above that, they would receive protection from third parties such as foreign invaders. If anybody else wants to come and invade your land, then too we will send our forces to assist you, to defend you. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala went on to say that if the Muslim government failed to protect them, they don't have to pay jizya anymore. See how fair. Right? See, today's time, there are taxes. Right? People have to pay. So much of taxes. Everything is taxed. And in return for the taxes, the government is supposed to give you, I'm not only talking about South Africa, I'm talking about various places, right? South Africa included, but it's not only South Africa, many places. So you pay taxes, and in return for your taxes, you're supposed to get certain services, right? Now for example, let's take a simple example. You pay every month for refuse removal, right? So if the government, if they're stealing money, and now they haven't got money to pay their staff, or they're not giving them, those bichara people pick it up and dirt truck people who work in that department, right, who come and pick up the dirt. Now they got a dispute with the government. They got a dispute with their local government, whether they want more salary or whatever their situation is, right? But who bears the brunt of it? You. Your dirt doesn't get picked up. Now what wrong did you do that your dirt is not getting picked up? Now at the end of the month, you will still have to pay for refuse removal, even though you had to remove the refuse yourself. Either you accumulated the dirt, or you took that dirt now and got rid of it yourself. Right? So the government didn't give you the service which you're paying for. They didn't give you the service. Right? But still you'd have to pay. But look at the system of Islam. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he's telling them, right, you got to pay jizya. In return for the jizya, you can stay here, you carry on living here, continue worshipping your religion, whatever you want to do, and this is what we will offer you. We will give you protection. If we fail to offer you protection in your time of need, you don't have to pay the jizya. It's fair. This is insaf. See? Insaf, justice. Finally, Khalid radiallahu ta'ala pointed out that if the people of Hira acted treacherously towards the Muslims, or they breached their agreement with them, then the entire agreement will be null and void. Meaning then, we got no peace pact here. Right? If you act treacherously, then the Muslim army will come now and wage jihad against you. Right? So this agreement was written in Rabiul Awwal in the 12th year after Hijrah. According to one account, when the people of Hira were still in their fortresses, Khalid radiallahu ta'ala presented them with the three choices. That either you enter the fold of Islam, in which case you will have the exact same rights as well as the same duties that we have as a Muslim, regardless of whether you stay here in your land or you migrate to another land. That's the first choice. Second choice, you pay the jizya. Third choice, you choose to fight. Those are the three choices that are given. But remember this, by Allah, I have come to you with a people who are more desirous of death than you are of life. In response, the leaders of the besieged fortresses said, okay, then we will pay you the jizya tax. We rather pay the jizya. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala said, may you be destroyed. Woe upon you. Verily, kufr is a desert pathway that leads one astray. And it is only the most foolish of Arabs that travel by it. You know, in a desert, if you take a pathway that is leading to nowhere, you're doomed. Because after that you can't find your way. Everything looks the same. And in the desert you can't have landmarks, because where the sand dune is now, tomorrow it may not be there. This is why so many people in the old days, when they used to travel through the desert, now you got garments and this and that. But in the old days, so many people used to pass away in the desert. Used to perish in the desert, because it's very, very easy to get lost. Right? So this is what he was trying to tell them, that you are choosing the jizya. Why don't you choose iman? To remain on kufr is like choosing an unknown pathway there in the desert that will lead you to your destruction. So why don't you rather bring iman? Based on this account, it is clear that Khalid radiallahu ta'ala's primary goal was to invite people to Islam, to guide people to what is haq. Glory, gaining more property, becoming rich, enjoying life, none of these things mattered to Khalid radiallahu ta'ala, and for that matter it never mattered to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala in general. In war, they sought only martyrdom. In jihad, they wanted martyrdom. And in peace, they desired nothing more than to guide others to get connected with Allah Pak. Guide others to what is haq, get connected with Allah Pak. This was their two things in life. Why else did he become angry when the people of Hira agreed to pay jizya? He became upset with them. Right? If you just wanted money, I mean, now there's 190,000 dirhams coming into the Baytul Mal now. After all, the fact that they agreed to pay jizya, this would benefit the Muslims. It would benefit the Muslim treasury. And on a yearly basis, this amount of money is going to come in. But worldly prosperity meant nothing to them. Meant nothing to Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala. A man who wanted more than anything else to gain what Allah Ta'ala had in store for his obedient believers, that is Jannah and an eternal life of bliss, comfort and happiness. This is what their focus was on. It is very likely that when Khalid radiallahu ta'ala gave the people of Hira a choice between embracing Islam and paying jizya, he remembered the saying of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَأَن يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعِيمِ. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that if Allah ta'ala guides one person through you, one person brings iman through you, this is much better than red camels. Red camels was regarded as something very valuable amongst the Arabs. Today's red Ferraris. Those days was red camels. So it was something very, very valuable. Right? See, I pointed out the insafi. How Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu is telling them that, see, if we do not fulfill our end of the bargain, we do not offer, you know, the services that we are offering you, if we don't fulfill that, then you don't have to pay the jizya also. Right? So I gave you the example because it happened today, so I'm giving you the example. It happened in our area today, so I'm giving you that same example. But the object is not to look at how other people are falling short. When we listen to something, we must check, where am I falling short? Where am I falling short? Hazrat Mustafa Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned this, right, that it is very foolish. It is very foolish for a person, he was to worry about rectifying the whole world, right? But he forgets about his own reformation. He wants to do this and do that and do that, but he forgets about his own Islam, forgets about his own reformation. Right? So this is something that is very, very foolish for a person. Right? So when we read these things, we must look into ourselves. One is to feel very, very happy that, see, we are Muslims, and see, Islam, insaf, everything is justice and fair and equality, right? And then to point a finger at the governments of the world or whoever it may be. But look into ourselves. Then am I not just like that? Am I not just the same? I got somebody working for me. They're supposed to be working from certain time to certain time. Now I kept them extra. Our agreement is certain time to certain time. Now I kept them longer. Right? Am I paying them the overtime? Am I giving them the overtime? So many times it happens in a busy period. Right? The owner of the business says, well, now it's time to work. No, now it's our busy time. Now it's time to work, right? So everybody works. The loot is going to go to him, right? But is he paying all those laborers for the overtime that they pushed in, the extra time that they worked? Is he paying them? So we also sometimes we fall short. Sometimes in our own homes, you got a maid, now you got 3 children, 4 children, husband, wife. You employed the maid. She's looking at, okay, this is the work. You know, there's 3 kids here. There's a husband and a wife, so that's the work. Now you got extra visitors came away. You got some family that came from another town. They came and stayed with you a couple of days. Your daughter gave birth. She came home for confinement. Now there's extra work. Do we think at that time that, look, let us compensate her. Let us compensate her. She's doing some extra work. Extra work involved now. There's extra washing. Everything is extra. Right? Let us compensate her. We don't think that way. So we must look in ourselves. We must look into ourselves and see, where am I falling short? Right? To point a finger at the next person, to point a finger with it, so the government or somebody else, that's very, very easy. You talk about insaf, so the person who is working class, he'll think about his employer. Lot of zulam. But I must look in myself, that am I not the same? Am I not the same? If I am, I need to make Islah. I must reform myself. Right? Because of its location, Hira was without doubt a city of great strategic importance in Iraq. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala, recognizing that fact, decided to make it a central command post for all military activities in Iraq. Thereafter, it was from Hira that all of the Muslim armies in the region were deployed. And it was from Hira that all orders were sent. Furthermore, while in his command post in Hira, Khalid radiallahu ta'ala would send out men to collect the jizya, as well as to patrol and protect the front lines of the war. In short, until all of Iraq could be conquered, Hira acted as a temporary capital city
of the Muslim-controlled part of Iraq. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala was successful not only on a military level, but also in restoring law and order in areas he recently conquered. His situation resembled that of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the 9th year Hijrah, when Muslims controlled much of the Arabian Peninsula, and when delegates from various tribes went to Madinah Munawwara in order to announce their entry into the fold of Islam and to sign a peace treaty with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's why that one pillar in Madinah Munawwara, it is known as the pillar of the delegates. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam wufud, you know, ustuwan-e-wufud. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to sit there. Different delegations used to come. They used to send a few representatives of their tribe, go and take bayat on behalf of the whole tribe, go and tell Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have accepted Islam. So with much of Iraq under the control of Muslims, the various leaders in Iraq, different areas, they started coming to Khalid radiallahu ta'ala in order to make peace with him, enter into agreements, etc. After only a short while had passed, the vast majority of people in the region had either embraced Islam or they agreed to Khalid radiallahu ta'ala's terms of peace, terms involving obviously the payment of jizya. The Muslims will pay zakat. Now you are a non-Muslim person, you're living in a Muslim country, so you are enjoying the perks and the protection of the Muslims in that country and whatever else goes with it. So you have to contribute also to the country. You have to make a contribution also. So your contribution is in the form of jizya. The Muslims make a contribution, that is in the form of zakat. The non-Muslims make a contribution, that is in the form of jizya. For administrative purposes, Khalid radiallahu ta'ala divided the areas that the Muslims conquered into provinces. And over each province, he appointed a governor. Thus he appointed Abdullah bin Wasima al-Nasri radiallahu ta'ala as the governor of Falalij. Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala as the governor of Banqiyah. Bashir bin Khasasiya radiallahu ta'ala as the governor of Nahrain. Suwaid bin Mukran al-Muzani radiallahu ta'ala as the governor of Tastar. Ata ibn Abi as the governor of Rodastan. And the following were the Muslim commanders of the front lines of the war in Iraq. One was Dirar bin Azwar radiallahu ta'ala. Musanna bin Haritha al-Shaybani radiyallahu ta'ala, Dirar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, Dirar bin Mukrin radiyallahu ta'ala, Ka'ka bin Amr radiyallahu ta'ala, Yusr bin Abi Ruhum radiyallahu ta'ala, Qatiba ibn Nuhas radiyallahu ta'ala. These seven, they were in the front lines, they were in the operations, they were in the war, right? Now, as you're conquering certain area is coming now under Muslim rule, you need to bring law and order there, a Muslim governor needs to be placed there. This was progress. Not what's happening in Afghanistan. How many years they're sitting there, what have they established? They say that they are on top of their game, right? The Americans, the allied forces. What have they established there? What did they get right? In all these places that they went, they invaded, they did things. What have they put right? Absolutely nothing. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala then sent letters to the Persian leaders of Iraq. After centuries of relative stability, the Persian Empire was thrown into a state of chaos. See, this is why, see, sometimes we sit and we become like overawed. You know, these people are a superpower. Hey, look at the Muslims, they're so weak and they're so disunited, and all these things are happening in the Muslim Ummah. Where will the Muslims ever be able to regain their strength, unite under a leader, and fight against these superpowers, etc.? See, Allah Ta'ala can do anything. Allah Ta'ala can do anything. Allah Ta'ala can take a person from nothing, give a person strength, give a person victories, and Allah Ta'ala can take a superpower and smash it to smithereens. The Persians were a superpower, like how today we have certain they call themselves superpowers, the world regards them as superpowers. Like that, at that time nobody could touch the Persians. The Persians, the Romans, nobody could touch them. So many years like that, they were the, you know, the force to be reckoned with in the dunya. But now after so many years, Allah Ta'ala sends whom? The Arab nation, whom nobody had any respect for. They regarded them as a backward, barbaric nation. These people, you don't even give them a second glance. They regarded them as so low that it's below your dignity to even rule over them. So even the areas that bordered the Roman territories, when the Romans, now they didn't want problems there, so they subdued those tribes, but they never ruled over them. They converted those Arabs to Christians, and then they took a leader from amongst them to rule over them. You rule over your people. It's below our dignity to rule over this nation. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with iman, and Allah Ta'ala brought them here now into Persian territory. For years these people were so stable, they thought, hey, we are untouchable, nothing can happen to us. Allah Ta'ala sent the Muslims there now. Muslim forces had invaded their territory and succeeded in taking control of much of their lands. Battle after battle was lost to Muslim armies, and there was no sign of a shift in momentum, no indication that the empire could be saved. What made matters worse was the recent death of the Emperor of Persia, Ardashir. At the highest levels of government, officials and members of the royal family were fighting for the throne. If princes, noblemen, politicians were fighting among themselves, how could they expect a defeat? How could they expect to defeat a foreign enemy? They were all, internally also now, they were in conflict, they were fighting. Where were they going to now defeat a foreign enemy? Khalid radiallahu ta'ala realized the implications of Ardashir's death, and he was aware of the infighting that was taking place among Persia's most powerful class of people. Wanting to take advantage of the situation, Khalid radiallahu ta'ala wrote the following letter to the noblemen and the leaders of Persia. Now imagine what they thought of these people, and today he's writing a letter to them. See, Allah Ta'ala is Mu'izz, Allah Ta'ala is Muzil. All praise is for Allah Ta'ala, who has undone your government, weakened your ability to plot, divided you, weakened you, taken away your wealth, and stripped you from your honor. When this letter of mine reaches you, embrace Islam. Embrace Islam and you will have achieved safety. Otherwise, take a covenant of protection from us and pay jizya. If you say no to that, then by Allah, I will come to you with a people who love death just as you love life, who are desirous of the akhirat just as you are desirous of this world. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala also wrote a letter to the general masses of Persia's citizens, a letter that was worded slightly differently, but contained the same basic message: embrace Islam or pay the jizya or get ready for war. Keeping in mind that I will come to you with a people who love death just as you love life, who are desirous of the akhirat just as you are desirous of this world. With the conquest of Hira, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala realized one half of his goals for Iraq. for the stage was now set for attacking the Persians in the heart of the empire. What was astonishing about the war in Iraq was not so much the victories that the Muslims achieved, but the speed with which they achieved them. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala began his military campaign in Iraq in the month of Muharram in 12 Hijri. He conquered Hira in Rabiul Awwal of the same year. How short time he conquered. And with small band, humble people went to fight. Today, big armies, so many countries get together and they can't go and get victory in small countries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.